This is part B of the true riches of God, number two. Now notice verse 5, what we are to do. And for this very reason, because of everything he said, verses 1 through 4, for this very reason also, having applied all diligence, doesn't that sound a little bit like where we started at the first? To repent and be zealous? Yes. Apply all diligence besides, add to your faith virtue. And virtue is godly behavior. And to virtue, knowledge. And let's understand something. It's not like a man asked me one time, he said, what are you going to do after you've gone over the Bible 5 years and you know everything in the Bible? Now what are you going to do? And I said, well, I said, the Bible's not like an ordinary book. You have got to realize that it is inspired by the mind and spirit of God, and we can have a whole lifetime of studying the Bible diligently every day at knowing the original language or whatever we need to do and delve into it, and still, because God is infinite and because God is eternal, we will never, ever, ever know everything in the Bible. But we must strive to learn as much as we can, because we're told to grow in grace and in knowledge. So isn't that something? You have a, now, if you get bored with the Bible, you are in bad spiritual shape. You really are. And especially if a minister doesn't know what to preach on, I don't know how to help him. Because if he's studying and he's praying and he has a relationship with God and growing in grace and knowledge, he's never going to run out of things to preach on or talk about, because God is going to be working and motivating with him, because God wants the people to know. Okay. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control, which means patience, understanding, controlling temper, controlling anger. All of that. Self-control. That's a key. A very key. That's talked of back there in Galatians 5, self-control. This is a description, in a nutshell, of the government of God. Now, we have a booklet, Is the Ministry the Government of God? And the answer is no. The government of God is on the shoulders of Christ, and he's the head of the church. Now, with God's Spirit, what he wants everyone to do is to use the Spirit and laws of God to govern your life through self-control by choice. And that's the best description of the government of God. Not a minister exercising authority over you. Because you know what happened to Galileo when he was hauled before the Pope, and the Pope said, you repent of this, that the world is round. He says, okay, it's flat. And he was walking out. It was said that he said under his breath, nevertheless, it is still round. That's a perfect example that ministers cannot govern you. Christ governs you with his Spirit, through your choices and self-control. All right, let's go on. And to self-control, endurance. Because we have to endure the end, correct? Endurance is, how should we say, a magnified expression of patience. And endurance, you can add anything you want to that. And to endurance, godliness. Now notice all the steps to godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. And to brotherly love, the love of God. And here is the key verse. Verse 8. For if these things exist and abound in you as part of your character, as part of the true riches of Christ, they will cause you to be neither lacking effort nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's really something, isn't it, brother? Yes, indeed. So the true riches of Christ, the true riches of God, are way beyond what we can really think and grasp unless we have the Holy Spirit of God. All right, now let's come and we'll finish here in Ephesians, the third chapter. I finish a good number of sermons using this chapter because it's my favorite in the whole Bible. Because this helps lay out our whole purpose for being and the whole reason of what God is doing and why we go through the things that we do. And remember, Paul was in chains when he wrote this. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. Concerning the gospel of Christ, of which I became a servant according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me through the inner working of his power. That's what we want. The inner working of the power of the Spirit of God. To me, notice his humility. And the truth is, the more you know about God's plan, the more you understand about it, the more humble that you become, not because you say, oh, I'll be humble. No, because you are in such awe of the great and fantastic plan of God. See? To me, who am less than the least of the saints, was this grace given, that I might preach the gospel among the Gentiles, even the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that I might enlighten all as to what is the fellowship of the mystery that has been hidden from the ages in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Notice how this ties everything in that we have covered, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. We are given knowledge and understanding and God's Spirit in a way completely different from any of the angels. And isn't it, and when I read this verse, it's amazing to me that the angels learn because of what we learn, according to his eternal purpose, which he has wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith. So Paul writes now, so then, I beseech you, not to faint at my tribulations which are for you, which are working for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and your new name is waiting, that he may grant you, and this is his prayer for all the saints, this is my prayer for you and all that hear this, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to fully comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to comprehend as much as possible, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants for you. Those are the result of the true riches of God. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Now notice verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able, meaning has the power and capacity to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hasn't entered into the mind what God has prepared for those that love Him. And even those that love Him, we have an inkling of it looking through a glass darkly. But God is going to give above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. And these are the true riches of God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.